News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. 7 minutes after 8 o'clock on Mobile Mornings, when we turn our conversation to Jim Nagy, the executive director of the Reese's Senior Bowl on Mondays, to talk a little football that we saw over the weekend. Jim, before we get to that, you've got a big event coming up this coming weekend, right?
We do, Dan. Thanks for asking about that. Yeah, we've got our sixth annual Turkey Bowl up at Hancock Whitney Stadium in South Alabama. We'll have a bunch of youth tackle teams and the winners of our flag league playing in the big boy stadium up there. Really cool memory for those kids. And, even more importantly, we're doing a food distribution for first come, first serve, 1,000 turkeys and box meals. Greer's Markets, Feeding the Gulf Coast, are great partners in that part of the event. And Blue Cross Blue Shield has been a tremendous sponsor of this event over the last 6 years. And the food distribution is first come, first serve. Starts at 1 p.m. Up at Hancock Whitney on Sunday afternoon.
Sounds good. I think I stumbled upon that thing 1 year, had no idea what was going on, and there were kids and parents everywhere, and they get a chance to actually, some of them play on the field, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think we've got 30 teams. That's about 25 kids per team. We're going to have probably over 600 kids playing games inside Hancock Whitney Stadium, where the future NFL guys play and where the Jags play, so... Mm-hmm. And most of these kids won't even play high school football, but it'll be a really cool memory for them that when they're a year and eyes age, they can tell their grandkids that they played inside that stadium. So really, really a fun day for us.
There's only a handful of people that are my age.
Well, that's awesome. I know the kids are going to love that. And also with the giveaway, it is crazy how Dan just happens to, he had no idea the Turkey Bowl was happening that day. He just shows up.
I was on my walk.
And things are going on. So you just show up on Saturday for the Turkey Bowl this week. Hey, Jim, a lot of football, of course, over the weekend. And I don't know how we're going to, pare it down for the college football playoff here in a few weeks. But I wanted to start our conversation this morning talking about an NFL player and a guy who was in the game not that long ago, Bo Nix, and the season he's having. Just with these quarterbacks and projecting what kind of future they may have, I have no idea how you guys, the scouts, do it. Because, Bo Nix, he wasn't being discussed as one of the top-tier guys in this last draft. And he comes out and he looks better than just about any other rookie right now.
Don, I mean, he was the 12th pick in the draft, so he ended up going pretty high. Yeah. To me, he was, he was an easy target for a lot of the just a lot of the snarky people that live on social media because of his age and because he started more college games than anybody. Mm-hmm. I felt like people took a lot of shots at Bo last year during the draft process. I think a lot of people were hanging on to what Bo Nix was at Auburn, which, again, that wasn't all on Bo Nix.
No.
We all see that now. There wasn't a great support cast there, especially on the offensive line. He was, I think the things that the NFL really loved, and obviously Sean Payton really loved, I think he reminded him of Drew Brees a little bit, in the sense that Bo got the ball out of his hand fast. He was super competitive. He was a coach's kid. He was all about football. And we saw that during Senior Bowl week. Bo Nix was down here, and, he was so locked in that, I didn't know if Bo was having a great time or not. He was just, he had a serious look on his face the entire time he was in Mobile. I think that's just him. When Bo's doing football stuff, he's very serious about it. And they're doing stuff right now with him in Denver that a lot of coaches would not be asking of rookie quarterbacks. So he's growing by the week. He's won a bunch of games. He lost a tough one at the end to the Kansas City Chiefs 2 weeks ago, where the kicker had a field goal blocker. They would have won. He put his team in position to win that game. And then he went out yesterday against the Atlanta Falcons and carved him up. I think he threw four touchdowns to four different guys. So, it's been cool seeing Bo doing what he's doing. I'd like to say it was a surprise. It's really not. I'm glad Bo's kind of – and this isn't how Bo is wired, but you know, he's getting back at a lot of people that took shots at him during the draft process.
Yeah, sure. There's a guy that took a lot of shots during this season. Now it looks like maybe he's bouncing back. Where's Carson Beck on your did you want to pursue Carson for the Senior Bowl regardless this year, regardless of his downtimes?
Yeah, Dan, he was our top graded quarterback coming into the year, and as he had his rough patches this year, absolutely. You know better than anyone being a UGA alum. But you know what? Some of the times where he's had his rough patches, like the first half against Alabama, he bounces back in the second half and plays really well. You know, and then, you know, 2 weeks ago against Ole Miss, he struggles and the offensive line struggles. And then he bounces back this week, and he's our Senior Bowl Player of the Week today. We're announcing that this morning.
I mean, interesting.
He played great against Tennessee. So I think what a lot of people don't know is that Georgia's offensive line is really beat up right now. They've got a lot of guys playing through injuries. So, like, to the outside world, I don't think they know they're injured. But talking to people in the building, they have guys, some offensive linemen playing on one leg right now. So Carson's facing a lot of heat, and he did a really good job managing that the other night against the Vols. So it's been a little bit of an uneven season for him, but he's still definitely, you know, a top three round quarterback and somebody we want to get here in Mobile.
Yeah, and that O-line held together well Saturday night. I think zero sacks from that Tennessee D-line. So Georgia picking it back up. Jim, a lot of invites. I guess the invites have been going out starting last week, and I've seen a ton of players already accept their invite to the game, and I thought it was kind of fitting. First invite out, or maybe first accepted, was a William and Mary offensive lineman, and you guys find those diamonds in the rough every year, so I thought that was kind of fitting that would be the first accepted invite.
Yeah, we went up there. Johnny Williams on our staff that put those great videos together did a really cool video up at William and Mary, and so we were up there a week ago Sunday. So yeah, he's our first accepted invite. He's going to be a top 100 player. In a really cool story, like, his parents were up there for it. They drove over. We surprised him at practice with the coaching staff and his teammates. And you know, some of the cool stories that come out of there, talking to their staff. I mean, this kid had offers from all over the place. To, you know, Virginia Tech, Virginia, bigger program, six-figure deals, you know, like high six-figure deals to leave in the offseason, and he stayed. And this kid worked his way through college at Tropical Smoothie.
Wow.
To help pay his way. Yeah, he worked at Tropical Smoothie the last 3 years to make ends meet. His name is Charles Grant, too, by the way. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, we're kicked off. I think we've got, you know, 25 or so accepted invites already. They got to most of the schools last Monday and Tuesday. And there's a lot of schools that still have to get rid of the players. I know that for a fact. So it's been fun. We had a couple last night with Virginia Tech. You know, a really big get on Sunday with a left tackle at Minnesota who's going to be a top 50 player, a potential first-round player. So this is really a fun time of the year in the office when we start filling up this roster.
That's great. That's great the way that you're documenting these events like this too, to sell the player and get people excited for different players when they come down here and say, "Oh, I remember the story on this guy," because the Senior Bowl went and did the film, did the work.
Yeah, it's just a little personal touch, you
yes.
know. We started doing it my second year, so this is the sixth year that we've went on the road. We're actually going on the road this week to do another one with a small school player. And we did one in a coach's office for one of the most high profile quarterbacks in this year's draft class last week. And, it's going to be a really cool video. But the head coach, after we were done, you know, shooting it, he's like, "Can you please hold off until we play next week's game Yeah, we'll be pushing that out on Sunday, the day of the Turkey Bowl. We'll be pushing that, and that'll be a huge announcement for us. It's a big time quarterback, you know, a likely first round quarterback.
That's
so
great.
Yeah, we have a lot of fun with those things.
We're talking with Jim Nagy, executive director of the Reese's Senior Bowl, and we are getting close to that time. Go ahead and get those tickets, SeniorBowl.com, coming up February 1st, to be here before you know it. I did want to ask you, Jim, and we'll see how coaching changes going forward in college football. What did it look like? Because such a strange schedule now with this extended playoff, and you have only certain transfer windows and things of that nature. But one man who was on that hot seat was Billy Napier. Seemed like a sure thing. And then the Florida Gators, their fortunes have turned around really since that win before the week against Tennessee, and then they have that overtime game against Tennessee. Just, Jim, talk a little bit about maybe how people are too quick to want to get rid of a coach, and when you're building a program like Billy Napier is trying to do, how fortunes can change, you know, in the middle of the season.
Yeah, I was glad to see that the athletic director there at Florida kind of came out and supported Billy Napier a couple weeks ago. It's just the society we live in, right? And I think a lot of it's driven by social media and the instant gratification, but that was a major rebuild for Billy Napier. You know, the previous regime really kind of took a lax approach to recruiting, so the roster wasn't in a great place for especially where a school like Florida should be. So it's been a rebuild. They've got a great young quarterback, DJ Lagway, who was the number one quarterback in high school, coming out of high school last year, played great against LSU this past weekend. So, yeah, I mean, I'm just happy about it, because you look back at some of the coaches that started off their college careers. I think the most famous one would be Frank Beamer. And during his time at Virginia Tech, I mean, Frank Beamer's record at Virginia Tech, like his first 4 or 5 years, was not good at all. But they showed patience in him. And now this is a dated reference, but it just goes to show. And then now he's the most historic coach in school history, and you know, one of the greatest all-time college coaches ever. He's in the College Football Hall of Fame. I think Florida's patience will be rewarded. Billy's a great coach. It was a big time win for them against LSU the other night. So I think the future is bright at Florida.
Let's leave on this note, Jim, and take your time too with the answer if you don't mind. But you have Frank Beamer, who coached in one era, his son Shane coaching at South Carolina now. They're having quietly a pretty good year. But he's dealing with something that his dad never did deal with, and that would be the NIL and the transfer portal. When you talk with people on campuses, what role is NIL and the portal playing in, I don't know, the quality of play that we see on the field? Or do you see any drop-off at all? I see a lot of inconsistent teams. Some are pretty good. Some are not so good. But college football simply feels different. What would you say to that?
Yeah, I agree with that, Dan. I do think there's you see some inconsistencies. There's a lack of depth. Yep. I heard Coach Saban comment on this. I mean, it's hard to keep your backups, because they all think they should be starters, so they're all leaving for opportunities to be starters at other schools. So, you know, when you start to have some injuries, there's not good depth. I mean, you're most cases you're throwing freshmen in there when your senior goes down. There's no sophomore and junior depth on your roster anymore.
They've left, yeah.
Imbalanced.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, yeah, it's something that college football has to get rectified. I'm pretty sensitive to it, just because I talk to so many coaches, and I just know, like, again, nobody feels sorry for college coaches because they make a lot of money, but it's not about the money. The quality of life is really difficult. You're having to, like, recruit your roster over and over again every day, try to keep all these kids happy so they don't leave. And again, you know, a story that a lot of people down here probably don't know about. Last week, there was a coach up at Northern Iowa University, Mark Farley, has been the coach at Northern Iowa for 31 years. And he said, he announced that he's stepping down after the season because he doesn't like where college football is right now. This guy, he's only 62 years old. He's still a relatively young guy. Like, Mark Farley could coach for another 10, 15 years if he wanted to. He's an institution up there at that program, but he's done with it, you know. And frankly, I don't blame him. So hopefully, someone at the college football level, NCAA, something needs to be rectified, for no other reason that, you know, what it's doing to the coaching profession. But yeah, I just think you're seeing a drop off in the depth, Dan. So when we get to this point in the season, a lot of starters are hurt. The guys that are coming in to replace them aren't ready to play.
Yep. Good answer.
Really, really great insight there, Jim. You do that every week with the insight, and we appreciate it so much. Thanks for checking in with us this Monday.
All right, guys. Have a great week.
You got it.
Jim Nagy, Reese's Senior Bowl. He is the executive director. Those invites going out to players as we speak. Your invite, it's already been out there. Tickets available at SeniorBowl.com. Get them that game coming up February 1st. Don't forget that Turkey Bowl coming up this weekend on Saturday. Want to check it out. More Mobile Mornings on the way. Text us, 251-343-0106.
Oh, guess what's coming soon, America?
What's that?
The United States Postal Service found a way to unite a nation bitterly divided because the Betty White stamp is coming.
Okay.
The beloved actor and comedian known for her roles on the Golden Girls, Mary Tyler Moore Show, Boston Legal, and others. But, you know, her appearances on Saturday Night Live when she's in her mid-90s.
Yeah.
Amazing. Anyway, a 2025 Forever stamp featuring Betty White is on the way, America.
That seems like the perfect stamp for a grandmother that's sending their grandchild some Christmas money.
There you go.
So Betty White on there.
It'll be next Christmas, by the way.
Oh, okay. He'll have to wait for that. 251-343-0106 and some texts about everything that went on this weekend, whether you were watching sports or paying attention to geopolitics. Michael says the Mike Tyson-Jake Paul quote-unquote fight was more of a WWF event than a boxing match. The whole thing was entertaining, but definitely not a legit boxing match. No, it was not, Michael. And if you missed the number earlier, they said 60 million people tuned in for the Mike Tyson-Jake Paul fight. You had the youngster, Jake Paul, who's much larger than Mike Tyson as well, ended up winning by unanimous decision pretty easily. Mike Tyson, first couple rounds, had a little spark and was able to throw some punches. But after that, it seemed like he kind of gassed out. And I thought Logan Paul really could have probably put it to him a little more than he did.
I guess that's how it was told to me. Like, they both kind of, one got tired and one went easy on him a little bit.
Yeah, and that's pretty much, if you've followed Jake Paul's career, kind of how every one of these fights has gone. He picks somebody that is a bigger name maybe in the fighting world than he is, but he picks somebody who he could beat. Right?
Yep.
That he's larger than or much younger than. And then whether it's Anderson Silva or Mike Tyson or Lamar Woodley, he ends up going out there taking care of business and everyone goes home upset. And that's normally how it works out.
Where was it? It was in Las Vegas?
It was actually in Arlington in AT&T Stadium.
No kidding.
And it was full. The stadium was. And the female fight before theirs, an actual world championship fight, ended up, they said 50 million tuned in for that, and that was a really good match. So
wow.
I think it was a success for them. Netflix had some issues, though, and people are worried about that with the NFL games coming up there and also WWF. And then doesn't have Meta texting Dalton, how are the feelings about the Vols this Monday? Did the rat poison get them in the second half? Yeah, if you've named the Georgia defense rat poison, then yeah, the rat poison got them in the second half.
Well, we were texting as that game started, and then I turned my attention to my pork chops because the game did not look good for Georgia at all, and it reminded me of how bad they looked against Ole Miss. I said, if they're going to do this all over again,
I'm going to cook.
Now, I cooked with my TV on. I saw him come back. So.
Yeah, I should have been cooking instead of watching that game. 8:29 coming up, we'll talk about the fight over Trump's appointments to his cabinet, the fight that is coming with the Senate. Also, speaking of fights, Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski talking with Trump over the weekend.
They're so smug, like they were doing him a favor.
Yeah, like they said they were resetting communication, so we'll talk a little bit about that.
You're two hosts on a very bad show. He's going to be the president of the United States.
Yeah, one of you might have more power than
yeah,
the other.
Just a little bit.
We'll get into that and a whole lot more on the way. 251-343-0106.
More owl attacks in Spring Hill. We will investigate.
Someone has to.
It's not me. I'm out there every day, kind of walking in those areas.
You're asking for it.
I'm asking for an owl attack.
Yeah.
And so far, and I'm also, didn't it like take his earbuds with it? Or
yeah, it took one of, he said he was wearing the AirPods. The Apple earphones, and that the owl took one of those. So the owl might be listening to music right now.
We're going to do that. We're going to investigate what the owl's up to and what he's probably listening to in the AirPod. It's Dan and Dalton, 836 on FM Talk, 106.5.
So the transition to 47, Trump's transition team keeps putting names out there for who will be in his next administration. And with the election a couple weeks ago, you have the start of the lame duck portion of the Biden presidency, but not very lame over the weekend as he was globetrotting once again. Yep. Joe Biden went down to Peru for the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Summit and met with Xi Jinping there, accidentally called China our ally during one of his speeches. And then when they take that picture of all the different world leaders who were there for the summit, and they take one picture of them all, they put Xi Jinping front and center.
Yeah.
Kind of tucked Biden away in the, if you're looking at the photo, he's in the back right.
You know, this would remind me, and the United States of America, shouldn't you always be front and center, something like that?
Mm-hmm.
It's like if you were looking at a photograph of the Los Angeles Dodgers team photo.
Yeah.
And then over in the corner is the bat boy. You know? But they let him in the picture. He serves his time.
So they bat boyed Biden for this picture.
They basically bat boyed our president.
Put him in the back corner.
Yeah.
They said that while Biden was speaking with Xi Jinping in their private meeting, that he went after Jinping for China's unfair trade policies. Of course, that'll be a pretty big part of the discussion between China and the new administration once Trump comes in. Said Biden emphasized how federal officials will take necessary actions to intercept any use of advanced technology that undermines the national security of the United States or its allies. And Biden, so talking with Xi and all of these others, they said Xi appeared to signal concern that Trump could create division between China's relationship with the U.S. when he takes back control of the White House. That's according to multiple officials. They said China is ready to work with the new U.S. administration to maintain communication, expand cooperation, and manage differences so as to strive for a steady transition of the China-U.S. relationship for the benefit of the two peoples. So while Biden met with Xi Jinping this weekend, of the international affairs, that one probably had the least movement, because you look at the both what Israel's doing in the Middle East and what Iran plans to do or doesn't plan to do, and then you have the Russia-Ukraine war, which kind of took a new turn over the weekend as well. But for Israel, you had Trump promise over the weekend that no holds barred, that the U.S., once Trump comes into office, will take any holds on military equipment out of the mix for Israel. And with the tensions with Israel and Hezbollah continuing to escalate, Israel is now talking about doing a 60-day ceasefire. So between now and when Trump comes into office, an Israel-Hezbollah ceasefire, and then once Trump comes in, he said that they would lift the embargo on certain weapons shipments and limitations on various combat-related equipment and just let Israel do what Israel's going to do. So that's kind of the latest from Israel, is they're going to do a 60-day ceasefire. You have Iran, who's now promising that they will not try to assassinate Trump after the U.S. warning. Iran notified the Biden-Harris administration it would not attempt to assassinate Trump. The secret missive from Tehran was delivered October 14th to Washington. U.S. officials told the Wall Street Journal that it came in response to a September warning from the U.S. that any Iranian attempt on Trump's life would be considered an act of war. So you have the Wall Street Journal saying in September, the U.S. told Iran to cut it out, right?
Yeah.
And so Iran delivers a message in October saying, okay, we'll cut it out. We're not going to try to assassinate him. But if I remember correctly, this last report that they had stopped an Iranian assassination attempt, they said that the orders came down in October for that one. So I think Iran in the middle of a lie
here. They fibbed,
yeah, which is obvious that you don't really expect to take Iran at its word.
Yeah.
But now news coming out that they told the U.S. they would not try to assassinate Trump, even though I'm pretty sure that while they were delivering that message, they had someone trying to assassinate Trump.
Yeah.
At least according to our people. And then also, the health of the Iranian Supreme Leader Ali Khamenei, not great right now. He's 85.
Mm-hmm.
He's the religious leader, but he is the leader.
Sure.
Right? Pretty much everything in Iran goes through him. And
he's like an evil pope.
Exactly. And there's a lot of tension, actually, in the Iranian population and within, I think, the circle of their leaders there. So Khamenei, he brings in, I think they had a 60-member Iran Assembly of Experts. They say Ali Khamenei, who's 85, his health is not good at all. He surprisingly invited all 60 of the members of this, Assembly of Experts, and force them to elect their next leader without them knowing a thing about this.
Huh.
And the leader they elect is Khamenei's second son. So just going to pass the baton right on down. But the way this article reads is that the assembly there of the Iranians who were set to elect the next president, not happy how all this went down.
I bet they weren't.
They were pushed into doing that.
Yeah. Khamenei, by the way, for his age, hilarious on Twitter. You should follow him.
Yeah. He just keeps tweeting.
How about if he did? That'd be funny.
And then one more, just kind of wrap up what all is going on internationally. And this was in our three big things. But you have Zelensky, who came out over the weekend. He said that he's confident that Ukraine's war with Russia will resolve quickly once Trump replaces Biden. Quote, certainly with the policies of this team that will now lead the White House, the war will end sooner. This is their approach, their promise to their society, and it's also very important to them. He says that. You have word that Putin is willing to discuss potential ending to the war, or at least a ceasefire, while they negotiate.
Right.
But then after Zelensky says he thinks the war will come to an end pretty quickly, you had Russia unleash a barrage, massive barrage of missiles and drones all over Ukraine, and you have the Biden administration say, we're lifting the rules. We said that you couldn't strike deep into Russia with the ATACMS.
Now you can.
And some of these other missiles. Now you can.
Now you
and
can.
I think that might be, over the weekend, the biggest shift in geopolitics is Biden taking the handcuffs off of Ukraine. This could be a much different looking war, and there's already been all kinds of bloodshed, obviously, and loss of life. But how does Russia respond now to Ukraine being able to attack deep inside of Russia, and how far will Ukraine go?
One thing I've not seen any, I asked you earlier, do you think he'd talk to Trump before making a move like this? And you were thinking, probably not. But I have not also seen, maybe it's out there and I just missed it, Trump commenting on this kind of an upgrade to what they can do, taking off the handcuffs a little bit and letting them bomb deeper into Russian territory. So I don't know if there's been an actual response.
Well, you've had Trump Jr. respond, not Trump himself. Trump Jr. claimed
he was critical
that it's a bid by the Biden administration to start World War III before Trump takes office. He said, let's see here, quote, the military-industrial complex seems to want to make sure they get World War III going before my father has a chance to create peace and save lives. Got to lock in those trillions of dollars. Life be damned, imbeciles. So that's the tweet.
Wow. Okay.
From Trump Jr. saying that they're just trying to escalate before he before his dad gets into office.
When Biden was talking to Xi Jinping, I don't know if he should have a Zoom with Xi Jinping and the president of Mexico, because we had that story maybe a year ago, maybe a little bit less.
Scheinbaum, right? That's the new
Scheinbaum. And all of the Chinese electric cars are all being built in Mexico. They've got like 12 manufacturers there, either there or planning to be there. And we had the story that all these office or manufacturing plants, parks, were being built. We'll build it, they'll come.
Yeah,
and they're like all. It's all Chinese.
And you also have a massive port, massive Chinese port that's being built in, I think, Peru, actually, if that's where they were meeting this weekend. That's really interesting. I was reading up on that over the weekend. And, the inroads that China and Russia have made in South America and Central America and in Mexico, you pointed out, how much they've done kind of right under our own noses, right, over the last 30 years.
Yeah.
And the business they've built in South America, the bonds they've made with a lot of these socialist leaders. And you know who's kind of been on that trail for some time now is Marco Rubio. And being the son of Cuban immigrants and how that whole story plays into his life. But really his focus on South America, having him nominated as Secretary of State makes a whole lot more sense when you look at it kind of in that vein, that he is very much against China continuing to build up its relationship with South America, and same thing with Russia, which is pretty much exactly what you're talking about there.
They make inroads in Canada. It's checkmate. I mean, we'd be surrounded by Chinese assets.
Mm-hmm.
And are they just building cars, or what are they doing? They're strategically in a place where I wouldn't just build cars. I might be doing a few other things.
Well, they're putting military down there and all kinds of things.
Yeah.
So a lot can change, I think, in this next month and a half, 2 months before Trump takes office. Let's just hope it's mostly for the better. But maybe one massive fight that Trump had on his hands, maybe kind of going away, maybe for some time here, and that is with Morning Joe, the hosts of Morning Joe, Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski.
They have said many a hateful thing about number 47.
They have. And this morning, they're saying they actually met with Trump over the weekend to kind of hash out their differences. It's funny, you kind of pointed it out, Dan, that Scarborough, he's talking in this like he's equivalent to Trump.
Exactly.
Like they have equal footing.
Right.
When one is just a TV host who's been lobbing bombs at Trump for years now. Here's Joe Scarborough explaining his conversation with Trump from over the weekend.
Now, we talked about a lot of issues, including abortion, mass deportation, threats of political retribution against political opponents and media outlets. We talked about that a good bit. And it's going to come as no surprise to anybody who watches this show, has watched it over the past year or over the past decade, that we didn't see eye to eye on a lot of issues, and we told him so.
What we did agree on was to restart communications.
So restarting communications, many people have not been asking for this, but now you have it. They're kind of, I guess, going to start anew here. They said for nearly 80 million Americans, election denialism, public trials, January 6th were not as important as the issues that moved them to send Donald Trump back to the White House with their vote. So still sound a little bitter to me.
And smug.
And smug.
It's like, if you listen to the show, watch the show, no surprise to you, we did not agree on many issues, just like they have the same. Your show helped the man get elected. You fool.
Yeah.
Like, your show is the reason, your show and others are the reasons that America has just completely, the numbers show it. They have rejected what you've been saying, almost laughable, and took your distortion of what the man is, what the Republicans are, conservatives are, and just didn't agree with it at all.
look
at the vote. Look at the mandate. And I don't know, Joe and Mika, where's your mandate? Where's your overwhelming ratings or vote?
Well, you think that they'd stop doing what they were doing since it helped Trump so much. I'm not sure we're going to get that. He added in that conversation, don't be mistaken, we're not here to defend or normalize Donald Trump. We're just here to report on him.
Yeah, well, you just look forward to more very, very low ratings. Dan and Dalton. Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings at 8:53. Good to have you along. Of course, you want to text the show, 251-343-0106. Getting texts all morning long here. So the story is, in an area where I walk all the time.
Mm-hmm. You're always walking.
Yeah, kind of. Well, hour and a half a day or something like that. But anyway, so, and of course, I get here early, so it's the middle of the day I'm walking.
You walk here.
I don't walk too here. But anyway, this guy gets, one guy, same guy, gets attacked by an owl twice a week.
And maybe the same owl. We think it's the same owl, but it might not be.
Well,
Part of what he had to say was that one time he was attacked by an owl and then there was another right behind it. Like he was like a meal line or something like that. Like one that was waiting its turn right after.
Why him? Why this one guy? Or maybe they're attacking other people who are too shy to
come forward.
they don't want to be known as that person that got attacked by. And it sounds like these attacks are from the back.
Yeah.
They're flying in from the north or whatever. Because if you saw an owl coming at you, certainly you would ready yourself.
Yeah, and you wouldn't look cool, but you would ready yourself.
You would ready yourself, whatever that means. And I probably would get into a jiu-jitsu kind of look.
That just means you fall on your back and wait.
Yeah. So twice, and the one time they got his...
his earbud.
Yeah.
His AirPod.
And
just took it right out of his ear.
So this owl is back in its tree right now. And what is he listening to? And Dalton said this.
Obvious.
So the I don't know, would he
Share
the music with other owls?
I'm sure he would.
Wow. So this is what's going on.
It was either that one or Sympathy for the Devil, right?
Woo-hoo!
Woo-hoo!
So anyway, that's two different I think it was a month earlier, and I checked. This isn't the same story that we heard when we had the owl alerts, like back in September.
Yeah, the owl alerts.
This was a new update, and it seems to be happening around Old Shell Road.
Mm-hmm.
This one right at the top of Old Shell Road at McGregor, very busy intersection. I've heard of other attacks earlier, reports that were more in the Midtown area near McGill. So anyway, just look out. But I'm good for the taking almost any day.
I don't know. You've been trying your best to get attacked by an owl. This sounds like this poor fella is trying not to get attacked by the owl, and they just keep coming for him. So
I mean, maybe
a hat that he has on, or
maybe
if he's just asking for it, like something that owls are in love with or really attracted by.
He's got to be like the Democrats and do an autopsy of what went wrong.
Yeah.
Like, where did I wear that?
Think he can poll the owls?
I suppose he can try. I mean, he gets closer to them than we do. I mean, I even go out into the woods, the nature trail at South Alabama. You talk about asking for it. There's probably owls all over me. I don't have any
They
idea.
Don't deem you worthy of an attack.
Not. I guess not.
That's wild. And we know that you would squeal immediately. You'd be calling up all the TV stations. Hey, I just got attacked by an owl. Come do a story right now.
Yeah, well, it would certainly make a headline on our... It wouldn't be one of the three big things, but we would talk about it.
Sean says, Ann stole his AirPod. Yeah, this was... he went from misdemeanor to felony, just like that, with the owl attack.
Assault and theft.
Assault, yeah. Battery, I don't know. Put all the charges on him. Dirt Digger says, Dan, it is the new Hooters at Old Shell. So I guess that's... there's a new Hooters that went up without my knowledge, which... That would never happen, first off.
Yeah.
But this is just marketing.
Okay. Hooters is coming.
I guess so.
Yeah.
My message to Biden as his term comes to an end. This texter with the, it looks like meme from, what's that funny movie called? Anyway, he's basically telling Biden not to do more, do less as you see your way out. Yeah. Sean says he's listening to The Who. That was spot on. Roy says eliminate the FCS games, minimum 3 games outside of conference every year per team, as Roy tries to fix the college football scheduling model now that we have a 12-team playoff.
Yeah, we could have asked Jim about all that. I know it was on my list of questions, never got to it. The SEC with all these 2-loss teams, how do they sort it out? Who's in, who's out?
I'm thinking it's looking pretty good for Bama, that they may get into the SEC championship after how everything went over the weekend.
But so if you lose, now you have 3
mm-hmm.
losses.
Yeah, then what happens if you lose in the SEC championship?
You get penalized
game?
For that.
That's a great question.
I don't know.
Coming up, the Jeff Poor Show, and Jeff catching a dub out there at Auburn this weekend. Saw him beat Louisiana Monroe, so he should be in a good mood with State Representative Shane Stringer joining in hour number 1. Dale Jackson with WVNN in hour 2, and the Democrat response to the Jeff Poor Show. Former Congressman Parker Griffith joins Jeff in hour number 3.
A lot of news going to be happening today. We'll kind of keep our eyes out for you. So, you know, even overnight and in the morning, we can then let you know what the three big things are and what you should be thinking about as you head on your way.
That's right. Mobile Mornings back at it tomorrow morning at 6. Give Jeff a text, 251-343-0106. Jeff Poor Show on the way next.